Split Ends is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. What up, my splitches? Welcome to another week and another round of Split Ends. I'm Colleen Wolf, coming to you live from my kitchen, the very place where I've been told so many times to go back to by super original people on Twitter. It's awesome. So it feels extra nice to host the pod from here. Everybody, take that! And by my virtual side, as always, Erica Tamposi. What up, girl?
Oh my God, buddy, you are in rare form today. I mean, pre-show, you're on fire. And what is the occasion?
Listen, I have gotten some sleep the past two nights. I've actually slept for 8 hours back-to-back nights instead of sleeping once every like 3 days. So I feel awesome. Also, I have a surprise for you.
Oh, you do?
I do. And it's going to happen right now. I want you to pick up your phone and text me. And okay. I want you to see what happens when you text me. And I'm just going to try it on for today and see what happens.
Did you block my number?
No, that would have been way better, actually. What a good surprise that would have been.
I texted you, hey.
What happens now when I take a look at it?
You tell me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Red. Yes. Everybody.
I know. There's the surprise. You're
the power
welcome.
Of Split Ends. Wow.
I know. I've turned on my red receipts today for one day only.
That's amazing.
So we have a really fun show ahead. That's just setting the tone for you guys. But before I check myself into Eagles rehab, which is absolutely going to happen, we have an awesome guest for you. You won't even believe we booked her. She's a massive star that also reads them too, making her Split Ends debut ahead of Halloween. Celebrity astrologer Aliza Kelly. I'm so excited about this one. She's coming through to answer our questions about the NFL future with some horoscopes. Before Halloween.
See what you did there.
Get it? Ricky, you scared?
Yeah, I am. No, I'm super excited. Halloween, it's a special week leading up to it. I'm super excited. I know that you were just telling me about moons and the different types of moons. So apparently you're plugged in on this. So I'm super excited to have Aliza on. But before we start looking towards Halloween, let's have a little appetizer, shall we say, right? Let's head down to our Thursday expose.
So, Ricky, I've placed myself on IR with a bruised ego after a series of catastrophic events unfolded after Thursday night football. So, the worst of which happened right after the game when everybody from the behind-the-scenes people to the guys on the set, the entire cast and crew, we were all going out post-game to debrief, get a little food, nosh a little bit. It was raining in Cleveland. So let me set the scene here. All I had were metallic heels, which were way too fancy to wear out. I had a pair of suede ones, which absolutely not. I'm not wearing those in the rain. It's way too nice. And I had a pair of cowboy boots because I was heading to a wedding on Saturday night with a farm chic dress code. This was on the invitation. So I don't even want to get into that. Packing was very stressful this week. So I'm just going to leave it at that. So I first meet everyone downstairs in the lobby in cowboy boots, feeling extra ridiculous. And how do you think that went over? Steve Smith was like, immediately saw them and just roasted me so bad. So I'm committed at this point. We go outside. We're waiting for Ubers. Ubers are very far. I decide, you know what? I can't go on in these ridiculous cowboy boots. It looks absurd. The outfit is not right. I run back inside. I run upstairs. The elevator door opens and Irv is standing in there. So now he's laughing at my cowboy boots. And I'm like, oh my God. All right. So I just put the J's back on because it had stopped raining. And I'm rushing through the lobby so I don't miss the Uber with everyone standing on the side of these gigantic glass doors.
Oh no.
And I I blow straight through a sandwich board sign that says wet floor. And it's one of those trips that just keeps on going because my body's momentum is just carrying me through the lobby. So my body would just refuse to rebalance at that point. It was so loud. The employees were absolutely horrified because we're at a really nice, classy, uppity hotel. Everyone saw. And the worst part is that, like, this is something that happens very often for me. So I'm used to it. I constantly crash into signs that are about, like, knee to thigh height because I don't know how I don't see them. I'm short enough. I should see them. I once fell over a sandwich board in Philly and fell for like a block and a half when I first started dating John. So I was just like, all right, cool. I just hopefully just that doesn't leave a mark.
Just taking awesome. It in the face. And you could say that that was a sign that you and John were meant to be together. Huh?
Oh, look at you. Yeah, you're right. It was a sign. I don't know what that sign was, though, in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I can't even explain the level of love for Joe Thomas in Cleveland. It's just next level. There were so many people that offered us beers, and it was so sad to say no. I would have loved to just shotgun a couple beers with fans before the show. I love the Muni lot in Cleveland. I didn't love the 25-mile-an-hour winds before the game. That was a little bit of a warm-up, I guess, for the atmospheric river that happened Sunday night in San Francisco. And there was supposed to be a bomb cyclone last night in Seattle, but I think it kind of calmed down.
Yeah, that
but
was crazy
too. But the wind in Cleveland was wild. It was insane. There was a tornado warning 20 minutes away from us, and we were in the middle of a parking lot. And I thought that the level of concern should just have been like a little bit higher, just a touch,
right,
because there was no true concern about the fact that there were tornadoes nearby. And maybe this is just because a tornado hit my parents' neighborhood a month ago,
yes,
which is very strange to happen outside of Philadelphia. They're good. Everyone's okay. We're going to have my mom on in a couple episodes here,
nice,
too. So that's something to look forward to. But Cleveland was super fun.
Yeah, I think the night before, maybe it was Wednesday night, you were out to dinner with, some of our friends from the network, and you were in this room with like all these antlers surrounding like this fireplace. And I DM'd you and I was like, hey, Colleen, can I borrow a buck? And it just said red. You didn't answer it.
See, Instagram has automatic red receipts,
yes,
and that's the problem. I would like to opt out of those. Well, we'll see how long my red receipts last today. I also, Tamposi, I have a confession for you.
Okay.
I know that nobody cares about anyone's fantasy teams. I'm just going to put that out there, but I do have a story for you. Because how great would you say my memory is? Like really good or tremendous?
One is like the worst memory on the planet. 10 is like photographic memory. You're probably like a -2.
I'm right about there. That's my sweet spot. So every single week I forget to set my damn lineup in time for Thursday nights. And I'm hyper-focusing on the show. I'm stressing out about like all of the little elements and things like that. So I completely forget about my fantasy team. I'm super distracted by like every single thing. So this week I played Stefania Bell from ESPN.
Yeah.
And what did I do? I started Baker Mayfield. How does that happen? I was in Cleveland and I spent the entire pregame show talking about the fact that Baker Mayfield was not playing and that Case Keenum would be in there and there were so many injuries. I texted her afterwards and I was like, oh my God, I am that person in the league that forgets to set their lineup.
Yep.
So she laughed. She was like, yeah, whatever. You're kind of busy. Well, guess what? DK Metcalf came through and I was victorious without a quarterback against Stefania Bell. I'm 5-2. Let's go. We can cut it in post, guys. I know nobody cares.
No, it's staying in, and it's also staying in that the week before I beat your ass. So we'll just leave that there. You don't even look because you don't even check the league.
Wait, Rank didn't even tell me that I was in that league and I auto-drafted. Doesn't matter. Anyway, that's enough.
Right.
That is our fantasy football talk for the week, everybody.
For the month. I'm so excited for Halloween this coming up weekend. Did you figure out what you're going to be?
I still am not sure. Probably Ted Lasso, but I have to go and get that costume today at some point. So we'll see.
Yeah.
What about you?
What
are you going to do?
The Squid Game, like, managers, like, you know, like the, what are they called? Whatever they're called, the people that kill people. But I was afraid you'd call me more of a serial killer.
No, it's perfect for you. This is like completely on brand. I'm happy for you. That's I like that you're getting out in front of the narrative. This is very proactive of you. I only actually made it through halfway through episode two, and I did that twice. So I'm now, because I watched the second time with John, I gotta catch up. I'll finish it by the end of this year, I'm sure. So that's, I'm just putting things out into the atmosphere because I know it will happen now.
I was talking with Lakeisha Westling, former guest of this program, the other day, and she was like, I'm going to go have lunch in my car. And I was like, oh, are you okay? Like, are you like upset? Like, what? Like, just have lunch with me. And she was like, no, I need to watch Squid Games on my phone during my lunch break, and I need to go in the car. And she was like, don't tell anyone. So you guys, splitties, keep it in-house.
I realized last week I was calling it Squid Games with an S at the end, and that it's actually Squid Game. With every passing day, I'm turning more and more into my parents because they add an S onto the end of everything. Like, did you go to the Acme's? Did you go to the Targets today? So I'm sorry. I'm putting that out there now. It is Squid Game, everybody.
Squid Game. That sounds like my dad yesterday on the phone. I was like, yeah, I think I want to get a Tesla. And he's like, you can't get a Tesla. That's going to be so much money.
Tesla. Wow. I didn't realize that you were making the big bucks. That's great.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Okay. Before we bring in our special guest, let's do a quick headline check.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know what time it is.
Damn, that song slaps.
I know.
All right, so we only have two this week, Colleen, because it's Halloween weekend and I have to focus on getting our costumes figured out. Like, we haven't decided yet. Mm-hmm. Halloween weekend's gonna be rowdy for some people, but I think this is a first. I want you to listen to this clip.
Okay.
Tyler Boyd has it for a short gain out to the 34-yard line. Again, impressive coverage by Anthony Avery.
What are you doing?
So that was happening on WBAL, the Ravens radio network, this past weekend, and everyone was sort of like confused. So then Jerry Sandusky had to come back on the air to explain what happened.
If you were listening, you heard Femi say, what are you doing? What are you doing? He was not talking to the players or the coaches. We actually had a fan who was trying to climb into the broadcast booth. She said, I'm a veteran and I'm looking for a drink.
Yeah, I don't serve drinks at the game. I might make some cocktails at home, but this is not the right time or place.
You just never know what's going to pop up or who's going to show up on game day.
Nah, they're just serving up analysis in that booth. That's fantastic. Oh, I don't condone this. However, I do salute their resourcefulness because it's a pure desperation move. And honestly, if I was a Ravens fan at the game, I would be desperate for a drink too, watching the Bengals beat them.
The Bengals,
it was a
signature
win for the Bengals. That's a way to get everybody's attention.
Oh my God, I loved it. And that when that was circulating this weekend, I was like, oh, that's amazing. Not that we condone it, but you know, more stories like this are really fun for us to talk about.
The Bengals, though, Tamposi, real quick, I am really, really impressed with them. Jamar Chase.
So into
over,
this team.
I mean, over 200 receiving yards. And remember in the preseason when he couldn't catch, that whole narrative? I just think that the fact that Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase have such a close relationship. They've had one since college. They, according to Peter King's column this week, they live three houses away from each other. So they've remained really close. And you can tell that in the games. I'm just fully entrenched with the Bengals. And I'd like to point out that I've been on the bandwagon and I might even wear my Bengals shirt from the Covington Airport on Halloween. I'm dressing as a Bengals fan for the rest of the season.
I love that. And they're literally first in the AFC North because they own the tiebreaker against the Ravens now, which is just like so insane. And I'm excited for this team and I'm excited for Zach Taylor. And yeah, I'm totally on board.
I'm also really excited for this next soundbite we have for you because a report came out that allegedly Mike Tomlin was being considered for the USC college coaching job. He addressed that in his press conference Tuesday morning.
Guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
I love Tomlin so much. Erica, he said it was a joke. Do you have a joke about this?
Yes. Here's my joke.
Refute it so that you can put it to bed.
No chance. I'm here committed to try to build an organization.
That's the joke. That's the joke. That's Urban Meyer looking down, addressing the exact same question about if he would leave to go to USC college coaching job. He's looking down, he's mumbling, and he says, no, I'm committed to making an organization here.
Wow, that's a real vote of confidence. Herb, can't maybe speak up for those in the back because we couldn't hear you, buddy?
That, oh man, that's the joke. Mm. That's the tweet.
That's pretty good. I like the contrast between Mike Tomlin and Urban Meyer on the subject. Really good stuff. Tamposi, I have an amazing guest coming your way. We have called someone in to provide some clarity for all of you out there that have unanswered questions about the NFL universe. So ahead of Halloween weekend, when the spirits really turn up, we are super excited to welcome our special guest here to help us understand the NFL from a higher power. She's a national best-selling author and TV personality. You can see her on the Drew Barrymore Show or listen to her on her weekly podcast, Stars Like Us. It's celebrity astrologer Aliza Kelly. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, my goodness, what a lovely intro. Thank you so much.
Hello,
oh my
hello.
Gosh. We are so happy that you cut some time out for us today. Like, this is really our pleasure to have you on.
It's honestly my pleasure because when I meet people who are like, I don't believe in astrology, I'm like, well, I don't know anything about football, but that doesn't mean that I can't believe in it. You know, like,
right.
It's fine. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's not real and doesn't mean that there's not like a ton of other information and insight that you can glean from it. So this is a dream come true because this is that fusion of that example I often give.
Aliza has been kind enough to indulge us with her talents this week, assisting in game and relationship predictions. So first up, we're going to do a little game gazing here. So Aliza will give us the astrological outlooks for the starting quarterbacks, and we'll use that information coupled with our own notes to predict the outcome of the game. So you guys ready for this?
Oh,
I'm so excited.
Here we go. Me too. So game number one, it's the game of the week, Packers and Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. Huge, huge, huge one in Arizona. The dominant Packers, they're in the desert to take on the undefeated Cardinals. And everybody's looking at the quarterbacks in this battle, their passer ratings. They've been incredible, blah, 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 blah. No, we're doing this the split end way. We're looking at their signs. So we have Aaron Rodgers, December 2nd, 1983, 37 years old, born at 2:50 in California against Kyler Murray, August 7th, 24 years old, Bedford, Texas.
What is very interesting about these two people is that they are both fire signs. So we have a Sagittarius sun in Aaron, and then we have a Leo sun in Kyler. You know, we have enough of Aaron's chart to, we have his time, date, and location. So we could do the birth chart, but we don't have that information for Kyler. We need to have the time of birth in order to get the full chart. So I don't think it's fair. I think we should just go sun on sun and just talk about how these two sun signs exist together and what we should anticipate for the cosmic weather ahead. So what's interesting is that we have a new moon coming up in Scorpio on November 4th, Thursday, November 4th. And the main difference between a Sagittarius fire sign and a Leo fire sign is what's called the modality that they operate in. So Sagittarius is a mutable sign, which is very much about sort of like change and constantly reinventing itself and moving things around and always wants to be sort of like doing a little bit thing of here and going a little bit over here. Whereas Leo is a fixed sign. So it's much more focused on being steady, consistency, being reliable, being someone who is going to show up over and over again in the same ways. So with this new moon in Scorpio, which is also a fixed sign, that is going to be creating a very strong aspect. And an aspect is a connection in astrology to Kyler's Leo sun. So I would not be surprised if we see very important things happening around his chart in particular.
Wow. What I gathered out of that, being the Leo and being someone who is, did you say consistent?
Yes.
Okay, because the Cardinals have been very consistent. They haven't lost a game yet. I think that it will play into him kind of excelling in this game because I like the Cardinals here.
So both, you know, this fire on fire is very competitive.
Okay.
You know, the fire signs, which include Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius in totality, are all known to be some of the most competitive signs. So I also think if there is already this, you know, established, this is who is in a leading position, I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron the Sagittarius is like, I'm going to do some really crazy things that nobody can anticipate and see coming to create some change here. And I'm going to go outside the box and do unexpected, unpredictable moves that would potentially get us the game.
And he does go outside the box. He does create a lot of plays on his own. So this makes some sense. Now, I am going to throw a wild card at you real quick. I don't know if you can quickly look up Davante Adams' sign here because he was put on the COVID list and there's still a shot that he could play in this game. Now, he was born December 24th. And I don't know if you need where he was born or not, but it was Redwood City, California. We don't have his birth time, but no, I just want to see what his sign is up to on Thursday.
Well, that's a Capricorn. Those are very different characteristics than what we are describing with Leo and Sagittarius. Capricorn is an earth sign. It is really obsessed with climbing the ladder, going to the top, being successful, but it does
this Capricorn.
So you understand. You get it. But it's slow and steady wins the race for a Capricorn. Okay. Capricorns are really ambitious, but they want to make sure that every step they take is intentional. And they're not going to do something that is just like, they're not going to do something that is impulsive. They're going to do something that is strategic. Whereas both the, you know, these fire signs of Sagittarius and Leo tend to be more impulsive.
Okay.
I'm laughing because that, you just like described Colleen to like it's like written, like it legitimately is written in the stars.
Yeah. I'm a Capricorn to a T. So we should probably throw out a couple little things about this game before we move on to the next one. Aaron Rodgers. I am a little worried about his pass protection in this game. He was sacked 3 times in the first half against Washington. He's going to need his pass protection to hold up against the Cardinals' pass rush, especially with Chandler Jones coming back. Could be pretty dicey, too, if Davante Adams doesn't play because he won't have as much time if he doesn't have that protection. And the Cardinals, they've played really well against the run, so there will be a lot more on Rodgers' shoulder. And then on the other side, Kyler Murray is the best quarterback the Packers defense has faced this season. And
definitely,
aside from Burrow, it's not even close. The other quarterbacks they've gone up against, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, Jimmy G, Big Ben, Justin Fields, and Taylor Heineke. So a lot to watch on this injury report for Green Bay. It's just an estimation on Monday, but we're taping Tuesday morning before the real designations are posted. Cornerback Kevin King, he was limited in practice in that estimation, and linebacker Preston Smith. Those are the two guys I'm looking for. It's really important that they get those two defenders back. Otherwise, Kyler Murray will have plenty of time to attack a shorthanded secondary, and those fire signs will be heating up.
Definitely. I think I'm going to take the Cardinals in this one. Just like after Aliza broke it down, like, I don't know. There's something about this defense and with Kyler. And obviously it's hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know.
I like the Cardinals too. Okay. Next game.
All right. So a battle for the last place in the AFC North. Again, we're ignoring the obvious here. It's a really battle of the coaches. So we've got the Steelers and Browns. Now, there's a lot of drama between these teams already. You know, not only are they rivals, essentially, but, you know, there were some scuffles earlier a couple years ago that have really kind of built up over the time. But let's look at the coaches. So we have Mike Tomlin, born March 15th, and then we have Kevin Stefanski, who was born May 8th, and he's from Philly.
So Mike is a Pisces, and Kevin is a Taurus.
Okay.
These signs, you know, and this is why you can't just rely on like textbook compatibility, right? Because technically, you know, we have a water sign and an earth sign, and these signs would theoretically go together very well. However, they are very different. Mike, as a Pisces, is extremely intuitive. very, very sensitive, sort of takes in a lot of information through that doesn't necessarily exist yet. He's using sort of his intuition. He's using his predictions. He's using his ability to sort of anticipate based not just on data, but also on gut feeling of a situation. Whereas Kevin, a Taurus, another earth sign, is going to be someone who is looking at the facts, looking at what is tangible, what is in front of them, what is something that they can really sink their teeth into and make sense of. So those have very different ways of moving through the world and metabolizing information, and could absolutely be, there could be a lot of conflict between these two very different approaches.
Okay, I love that. That feels almost like a harder, not a harder sell than the other one, but I feel like when we're looking at personalities like Kyler and Aaron Rodgers, it was just so, like, you're right, the fire is really what stands out here. And Tomlin is very, is such a smart coach, and even in his press conferences and everything that he notices, I find that just so spot on. I mean, obviously this is why you are the best astrologer ever in the whole world, because you nailed
wow,
it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin too, you can tell he is really intuitive, and I like the fact that you said that his signs, a Pisces, they're sensitive. I think that's why his players love playing for him, because mm-hmm. he's such a player's coach and they've had so much success. But really, being a head coach is all about being a people person and managing personalities and anticipating events before they happen and being able to coach up these guys through hard times. So we've seen that in the past. And then Kevin Stefanski with his sign just being more analytical. He loves analytics. The Browns yes. do in general. So that checks out as well. But both teams, they come into this game, they've had a chance to rest. The Steelers are coming off a bye. The Browns off of their mini bye because of that Thursday night game. But this is an interesting one because the Steelers, they've won two straight. Their offensive line and running game have really started to come together and look alive. But Baker Mayfield's status, the Browns quarterback still up in the air. Case Keenum, who I'm a big fan of, by the way, yes. is going to potentially start another game. By the way, just a little quick story. On Thursday Night Football this week, when Case Keenum was walking up to the stage for the post-game interview with him, I found it very interesting that there was one fan in particular that kept screaming at Case Keenum to take off his shirt. And this wasn't directed at me. Case Keenum was in a completely other direction, and this fan continued to tell him to take off his shirt. And I asked Case Keenum about it. I was like, is this something that happens? Do you hear this guy? And he just laughed and shrugged it off. But let me tell you, the fans, they really love Case Keenum, and they also really love their head coach, Kevin Stefanski. We also have some rocky relationship readings, because not all relationships are healthy and thriving in the NFL. And Aliza, I'm sure you deal with a lot of this when you read people's signs and their birth charts to see if they're compatible. And some couples, they could really use some counseling. So we'd like to cut through all of that because we're impatient. And I just want to know what you see for the following football couples based off of the stars. So we're going to go to Miami first. They claim everything is fine. They're happy. They're going strong. But was this all doomed from the start? I need to know. Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, March 2nd, 98. And then we got the head coach, Brian Flores, February 24th, 81. And he was born in Brooklyn, New York.
So we have two Pisces here.
Uh-oh, that doesn't seem good.
So this is something that I think cannot be overlooked. Pisces is the last sign of the whole zodiac, in addition to a water sign. But the water element, which is known to be very intuitive, very sensitive, men sometimes have a hard time expressing that intuition, right? And that sensitivity, because it's not something that we learn how to do, especially when we are talking about people within the football context, right? Being how to manage your sensitivities and your feelings, especially if you get your feelings hurt a lot, could be really problematic, right? And Pisces are really heavy feelers. So these signs together probably are just triggering each other back and forth and back and forth. But nobody, Pisces isn't particularly good at communicating.
Oh my God.
No. This is terrible. Are you kidding me?
No, so that is perfect. Like,
so it's just
perfectly
really,
awful.
Perfectly awful. You know, somebody is going to need to intervene. This definitely is a situation that requires an outside mediator.
Wow. Uh-oh. That's so, for a little context, like in Miami, Tua is their quarterback. Brian Flores is the coach. There's been some talk that he's always going to be their quarterback, but then there's been rumblings behind the scenes about potential trades, and they're communicating through the media, but not necessarily each other. And it's a lot of sort of fluff going out into the press, but you know.
Well, Tua did say that, like, Brian Flores has been really good with bringing him in and being upfront about everything.
Well, that's PR.
But that's PR. So you could obviously tell, though, that they're having a hard time going through their feelings. Maybe they're too much in their feelings right now. Maybe that's the whole, maybe not so much for Brian Flores, but maybe for Tua. And he has played better, though. So
yeah, past week.
We'll see.
Yeah.
He was a really high draft pick. They spent the last draft building around him and building up this offense. So the trade rumors, they will fly until the trade deadline is passed November 2nd, but we'll see. That's interesting. But two Pisces signs, it feels like they probably aren't a great match just based on what you said.
We need to have, you know, a nice sit down, cry it out, you know, just a cry fest in order to really navigate and get through. However, you know, feelings were hurt and memories were recounted and, you know, deep, deep wounds have been activated through this dynamic.
Wow. Ricky, you should suggest a cry fest to them.
I will. Yeah.
Do you contact them?
Absolutely. That's on my list of today, my agenda. So Sam Darnold was a quarterback in New York. He left one rocky relationship for a fresh start with the Panthers. It was going well for a few weeks, and now it seems like there's trouble in paradise. Can these two rekindle and get back to what they had? So we have QB Sam Darnold, June 5th, 1997. He's a Gemini, and Matt Rhule is the coach, January 31st, 1975, and he's an Aquarius like me. So hopefully that's all good qualities.
Of course. Period. End of sentence. Yeah, done. So, I mean, what we're talking about here is two air signs. So we haven't talked about air signs yet, but air is cerebral, it is social, it is very cognitive, it is very intellectual, but the way that Gemini metabolizes
good looking, right?
Gorgeous,
yeah,
friendly, loved by everyone.
Okay,
the Snow White.
All right, we get it. We get it, Ricky. You're an Aquarius.
The way that air energy is metabolized between Gemini and Aquarius is very different. So Aquarius, starting with your sign, is the last, it's the second to last sign of the zodiac, and it's the last air sign. So it is thinking big picture. It is very much large scale, you know, what does this mean about society at large? What does this mean about humanity? How does this fit into this broader context? Whereas Gemini is the first air sign of the zodiac, and it is very much sort of like, who said what? I need to know where I am. I need to know where this person's at. I need to understand sort of like just peer to peer what's going on, and could lose sight of that bigger picture. Gemini is obviously one of the most notorious signs of the zodiac. It's represented by the twins. It's known for its duality. And honestly, it's really because Gemini is interested in so many different things that it's a little bit hard for Gemini to focus and to just execute the task at hand. Whereas Aquarius is like, no, we're taught you need to, because this is part of a much larger narrative that we need to focus on, not just what's going on in this moment, but also how this relates to the bigger strategy. So wow. I do think that this is repairable, because air energy can work together well, you know, but it really is about getting onto the same page again and thinking about both the micro and the macro and reconciling both of those.
This makes sense. I could see how Gemini would have a problem with execution, and Sam Darnold, we've seen him have problems with execution in games. So maybe these two will be able to patch things up and move forward. But I really need to know this before we let you go, Aliza. Aquarius and Capricorn are two signs. Erica and myself. How do those two mesh?
Well, I love it. I love it because you both are at the end of the zodiac. So again, when we think about, you know, the beginning of the zodiac and the signs that come right at the front, we're thinking about sort of like the immediate circumstance. At the end of the zodiac, we're thinking about big picture. We're thinking about long-term vision. We're thinking about not just what's going on in this moment, but how it relates to something bigger. Capricorn is an earth sign. It's going to be more tangible. It's going to be more logical. It's going to be more practical. Aquarius is about how do you get the message out to the people? How is this fair? Is this humane? Is this something that is going to be, you know, when we look back on this conversation in 20 years, are we still going to support what we said? So the combination of those is really lovely together.
Well, that's the best thing that you've said all show. I love that we have a future together, me and Erica on the show. Aliza, thank you so much for coming through.
My God, thank you
provided
you
so much information for us, and I feel a little bit better about my game picks now. And guys, you can do the same. You can follow her on Twitter and on Instagram at Aliza Kelly, and that's AlizaKelly. Hit her up, ask her your questions, and follow her on her many platforms. You're amazing. Thank you again for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Aliza Kelly checking in with us. Really glad to hear we're compatible. I guess we can keep the podcast going, Ricky.
Yeah, that was really
great
worried.
News. I know, me too.
I
me
was
too.
Worried. Thought we were going to pull the plug. Order. iHeart pulled it.
Perfect. One last order of business before we split.
Ooh, when those drums come in, it can only mean one thing. It's time for the split end of the week. Hit me with the saxophone.
Our split end of the week, candy corn. I think it's trash. Erica, what do you think on this?
Do you think it's trash just because you're told to think it's trash?
No, like are you kidding me? I hate it. It's way too sugary. I feel like every time I have a piece of it, all of my teeth are going to fall out. It's just diabetes in a bag.
It is. It's just sugar. So yes, am I going to pick it up in July as like a candy treat? No, but it's Halloween. I'll throw a few in my mouth and chomp around. They're great.
What? I'm sorry. Cool. That's good. I'm glad. What an awesome weekend you have in store. So,
Splitties,
good
let
luck
us
with
know
that.
What you think about candy corn.
All right, everybody. Be safe out there this weekend. Keep your diabetes in check and come back next week for more.
Definitely. And crawl into the TNF booth. You know, have Colleen make you a drink this weekend.
Rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Make sure you check us out everywhere you can. Tell all of your friends.
Oh, wait, let's split.